The entire nursery school class were building pottery for mom and dad. It was an exciting month of crafts. It started from the very beginning of the process and eventually led into this exciting opportunity to present to mom and dad the last day right before Christmas their extraordinary creation. Johnny was having a really bad day. And on his way out of the nursery, trying to put his coat on, waving at his parents, carrying all the paperwork and the gift, somewhere this hand and that hand didn't go the direction they were supposed to go, and suddenly there was a crash as his pottery gift landed on the ground. And he burst into tears. And his dad, a compassionate, gentle, kind man, patted him on the head and said, Johnny, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And the little boy cried harder and harder. And his mom, seeing the world from a different perspective, knelt down, picked him up in her arms, and held him tenderly and said, it matters a lot. I know it matters. I'm so sorry. It's going to be okay. One of the things you discover after about 30 years as a priest is that people avoid Advent. And their conclusion is, it doesn't really matter. Well, it matters. Because it's a time of preparation for our bodies, minds, and spirits so that we can fully embrace the exciting news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Preparation takes time and energy. It takes time set aside for a very specific purpose, to get ready. John the Baptist arrived, and I dare say, and there are at least two or three clergy in the room, I dare say that John the Baptist might not have done well in an Anglican context. His opening at his first service was, you brood of vipers, which is guaranteed to get most of us sent to Nineveh. But let's try and take it into context. The hundreds, if not thousands, that gathered that day at the edge of the wilderness were there because they were ready for a U-turn. And I don't know about you, but I am grateful that God, through Christ, allows U-turns. U-turns in our marriages, U-turns in our work, U-turns in our relationship, a new start, a fresh beginning. And that we can do that, unlike the normal road, we can do that anytime, in any situation. The old language is repentance. Some find that a painful word during Advent. So for so many of us, we already know what our weaknesses are. We already know what we do wrong. We already know what we say wrong. And for some, God help you when you tell me the rest of it. We know. We don't actually need somebody to come along and remind us again. But instead, we need to be reminded that God allows U-turns, that there is a new beginning, a new start whenever we want it. And that is part of that old traditional word of repentance and reconciliation. For there is a transformation that John the Baptist is speaking of as he prepares the way for Jesus to arrive and to tell us what it is to love and accept and forgive each other. John the Baptist arrives in the midst of people who want a new start. He looks at the people of his time and he says, is your socioeconomic situation a mess? Is there poverty? Is there isolation? Is there loneliness? Are there thousands of street people in your city? Is the job situation unhealthy? Are you not so sure about your government? That's what John the Baptist said. If you want to make change, it starts within you. A decision that you make for yourself, for your family, and for the community. For we are responsible for the city and the society that we live in. Now, how's that happen here? Once again, for those who came today hoping that I was going to beat up on you like the rest of the world has all week, I need to sadly disappoint you. I happen to believe there's a lot of things this community does right. Your outreach and your missions at Christmas is extraordinary. Not to mention the rest of the year. And there's opportunities in and outside of this room to do that. John the Baptist also wanted people ready for Jesus and to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a person sitting in this room, and I'm not sure I have permission to say their name, and so I won't. But they thought evangelism would be a good idea this Christmas. To keep Christ in Christmas. Can everybody see that? And so this happens to have, it's not a sticky, it's a magnet on the back. It would fit on the back of your car. It would fit on your front door. You see, evangelism can be shared, the good news can be shared without saying anything. Sometimes a sign will do it. So they've made a number of these available, and you can get them in the office for a small donation of your choice. And it's a way of doing evangelism at Christmas. Maybe the one that needs to be reminded is you. I know where this one's going. The most frequent place that I visit in our home, the fridge. To keep Christ in Christmas is to take John the Baptist seriously when he says you need to stop where you are and decide if you need to be going in a new direction in any part of your life. And then to ask Christ for his guidance and direction to help you do that. And then he speaks of the baptism of repentance and that Jesus will come and baptize with the Holy Spirit. That voice deep within us that guides and directs our motives, our goals and objectives, even our tasks. To do those things that we know glorify God and bring relief and healing to the community around us. I'm looking around in the worship space today, and I don't know if the camera can go there, and I'm not sure how much they appreciate the suggestion that it does. But if it went to the trees that all of you can see today, not only the tiny tree for memories, but also the huge one there, next year you would really want to be part of that decoration party that happened this last week. Not only was there a lot of laughs, a lot of joy, and some great cookies, but an eggnog I don't think I'll ever forget. To come together this time of year as community of those in fellowship who really want to experience the joy of Christmas and are prepared to prepare their hearts and their minds and their souls for the experience that John the Baptist outlined. Now some will say, now Stephen, you kind of glossed over the tough parts. So here it is. Did he accuse a group of people about it being a group of, vipers, yeah. He saw a group of self-centered, egotistical, self-righteous individuals and said, the shoe fits, wear it. And was it offensive and was it hurtful? Perhaps, or maybe they took it seriously and said, maybe I'm going in the wrong direction. Maybe I need to choose a new direction. Now, some of you want me to talk about hell and damnation this morning. I'm sorry, that's going to be real brief too. Because here it is. And I need you to hear this morning. Here's the promise of Jesus, post John the Baptist. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the whole world might be saved through him. And that is the good news of Christ on this Sunday morning. Amen.